There in your bulletins, you'll see in your order of service that I've given this title, Why Doctrine is Vital, a brief introduction to our new series. And our new series will be preaching and teaching through our proposed doctrinal statement. And I'd like to, as we begin for the next few minutes, to ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Don't get worried. I'm not going to preach. Chris has got that for this morning. But I would like to give a bit of a formal introduction to why doctrine is vital and why we would take basically the next year to preach and teach through our proposed doctrinal statement revision. If you're using one of our pew Bibles, you will find it on page 1151. That is 1 Timothy chapter 1, page 1151 on our pew Bibles. I won't soon forget the look on Pastor Chris's face when, in perhaps his first elders meeting after he came on board with us here at Bethesda, when I described myself as, and I'm quoting here, a recovering truth person. Now, some of you might have that look right now that he had then. His eyes got really big like this, and he obviously was wondering, what have I gotten myself into? A recovering truth person. What is that? He literally said, kind of blurty, like, wait, what did you just say? I love it when that happens. Something so totally unexpected that we are truly surprised, even flummoxed. My truth recovery began after one of the more surprising moments that I've had as a Christian and as a pastor. It came during our days in Iowa when I was preparing to lead a monthly Bible study that our deacons and I had committed ourselves to. I thought one of the best places we could start for our study would be the first of the pastoral letters. And so we began with the book of 1 Timothy. And so I was preparing to lead this session with my two deacons. And I came upon these first few verses of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Follow along with me if you would. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the commandment of God. Now I want you to notice that phrase, by the commandment of God, because we'll see something very similar to it in just a couple of lines. By the commandment of our God, of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Verse 3. As I urged you upon my departure for Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus. And we have noted, especially through our series through the book of Ephesus, that Timothy, young Pastor Timothy, was the pastor at the church at Ephesus. And here Paul makes reference to his position there in Ephesus, so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange or false doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation rather than God's work, or literally it says God's provision, which is by faith. Verse 5 is the place where my whole way of thinking about doctrine and truth was, well, I can say, upended. Verse 5. But the goal of our instruction, that's probably the way your version that you're reading right now has this translated, but the actual phrase there is the goal of the commandment. So Paul is making a reference back to verse 1 when he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the commandment of God. Here he says, but the goal of the commandment is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. The surprise for me, and hence the beginning of my recovery from being a truth person, so-called, is that I did in fact expect, and I have to be honest, in some ways I still expect, that verse 5 would read, or it should read, but the goal of our instruction, or even the goal of the commandment, is truth. He is talking about his word ministry, by the way. He's just instructed Timothy here in verse 4, or rather verse 3, so that you may instruct or you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines. And the solution is true doctrine. He's talking about his word ministry. And I would expect it, and I still do in some sense expect, that the goal of our instruction is truth. But if I had remained there, I'd have fundamentally misunderstood what Paul is saying here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and particularly verse 5 and all the verses around it, as well as what God's intention is in my own calling into ministry, and more importantly, our ministry as a local congregation of disciples of Jesus Christ. The goal of what we do, or rather the goal of what God is doing, is not to be right or to be proven right or to be thought of right or to think of ourselves as right. It's love. More specifically, it's God's love, manifested in and among, and yes, even through his people. Also his ministers of the gospel, even here in this passage, his apostle, Paul, in this case. But what is love? What is God's love that he's proven at the cross and he pours into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 5:5? What does God's love look like? How does God's love feel, both to give it and to receive it? What does God's love require of us? All of these are questions of doctrine. That is, what we believe, what we teach, and what we've committed to each other and to God to live out in the world. Indeed, the context for Paul's instruction here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 to young Pastor Timothy is what is right or sound or true doctrine, as opposed to strange or false doctrines or myths or controversies or endless genealogies taught by uninformed wannabe teachers. Did you notice that as I read the first few verses? Paul here, by the Holy Spirit, continues his instruction about the goal of his commandment or the goal of his instruction in his apostleship from God, and therefore his instruction to Timothy and to us. He continues on in verses 6 and 7, for some men, straying from these things, what is he talking about these things? Well, from love with a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith, straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussion. Wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they made confident assertions. That's doctrine. And this morning we begin a new series of messages that will span most of this church year from now through next April. The good news, perhaps, is that this new series won't be limited to any one book of the Bible. The whole Bible will be our text. Even more good news, perhaps, we don't intend to use the whole Bible as our text on any one Sunday. But Chris and I will be preaching and teaching through our proposed doctrinal statement revision to be considered for adoption at our 2018 annual general meeting. Pastor Chris has helpfully put together this insert that you have there in your bulletin. I'd like for you to take it out at this time if you don't have it out already. It gives you a table of contents for our proposed doctrinal statement. I think that's very helpful. It includes a preamble to set the context for our statement that I'll read in just a moment, as well as 12 proposed paragraphs providing the biblical content of fundamental Christian teaching that we believe is essential to what it means to be biblical Christians. You will also note that we've printed for your information here the preamble in whole, and also the first topic or the paragraph on God's revelation, the Bible, which Chris will start preaching through this morning. And it's important, I think, that we reiterate that this is not a finished document. It's more like a final draft. As we move through our series on the fundamentals of biblical Christian doctrine, we invite your ongoing input so that when we get to our annual meeting in May, hopefully we'll have a document that might reflect what we as a congregation believe that the Bible teaches, rather than what I believe or what Chris believes or what any other individual believes or prefers. So our doctrine is what we believe is good, true, and essential for Christians and Christian churches to believe, teach, and live, the Bible being our authoritative source. Look with me at the preamble. This sets the context for the entire statement. The Bible faithfully records the epic historical drama of God's loving and relentless pursuit of his most favored creatures, human beings, who keep running away from him in pride, rebellion, guilt, fear, and shame. The Bible graciously reveals that God's good, sovereign, reconciling, and ultimate purpose is fulfilled in and through the work and the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible also consistently teaches that the Christian life is both a lifestyle and a lifetime of working out our relationship to God through faith in Jesus Christ, expressed in obedience to Him. God's Spirit and Word, guiding and equipping us. Historically, an essential aspect of being a Christian and a Christian church involves accepting, believing, obeying, and teaching the Bible as God's Word written. Consequently, our statement of doctrine expresses a positive case for the fundamentals of what we believe the Bible teaches, what we are committed to teaching, and how we are committed to living in our place and time. Perhaps we can think of our doctrine as the intersection of God's truth and God's love. He is the one and true living God. And God is love. And the biggest, best, most supreme truth that we have of God's truth and love is in the person of Jesus Christ, and what we know about him and what we teach about him and what we do in our lives as a result of faith in him is doctrine. Truth without love, or love without truth, are incomplete. They're misleading. They also are a misrepresentation of who God is and what he's about. We need them both. Finally, let's keep firmly in view that the goal of our commandment, as Paul said, or the goal of our instruction, as Timothy received it, indeed the goal of our doctrine must be love. God's love. Manifested with a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Let's pray together. Father, as we begin this new series, I pray, Lord, that none of us will either assume or react that doctrine is not our thing. Lord, if doctrine is not our thing, we do not know you. You have revealed yourself in a variety of ways, and Pastor Chris will begin to work through those ways in just a few moments, but you have supremely revealed yourself in the person of Jesus Christ. You have also revealed yourself in creation. You have specially revealed yourself in the Bible, Holy Scripture, written. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to reveal yourself to us and not shy away or assume that doctrine is not for us. It's what keeps us in right relationship with you in our minds and our hearts. It's essential to what it means to be a Christian. Doctrine is essential to what it means to be a local church, and help us to have a balanced view of our information about you. In other words, help us to continue to value and to manifest your truth and your love in this, your congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.